evening's topic is really sort of a continuation of last week in a way. Remember last week we were talking about perfection, being perfected, that is to be matured and completed. And I was still thinking about some of that this week, and I was thinking about God working in us, because that's how we get there, is His work. And I was kind of studying some of this, and I was interested in the words. Sometimes I just look, you know, go back to the Greek and see what the meanings of the words are, and that's why we have things called concordances and stuff, because I don't know the Greek, so rely on those that have been able to put together resources for us to look into some of these things. It's always interesting to me because the English language, which I don't have a problem with, but sometimes it struggles to express the same things that are expressed in other languages, and the same is true. There are things that we can express in our language that you can't express very well maybe in Spanish or vice versa. And they have words that whose meanings require multiple words to express it. So I always enjoy doing that. I'm going to Romans, the 5th chapter this morning to start with, because my thought is about working, about God's working. And so I was looking at that word, work, or worketh, or working. And the meaning, and in this verse, the third verse of Romans 5, that we're going to read first, and we find the word worketh here, and the meaning of the word, and this is the meaning in most of the words that are translated, is to work fully or completely. In other words, to bring it to completion. And I thought that was interesting because if you think about working, you can go start to work on something. And trust me, I know all about this, and not finish it, right? Yeah. I have a lot of those things. Start working on it, and something else happens, and you don't finish it. And then you go maybe go back to it later or something. But it was interesting to me, the thought of this word, because it reminds us that God finishes, and He completes. And so our perfection, that is our maturity and our completion, God will complete that if we just yield to His working. So in this chapter 5, I think we'll just start in the first verse. It's probably a good way to get into the verse 3. But chapter 5 of Romans, verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." I don't know if you ever read this. You know, sometimes, again, we read through these things, and I do a lot. And then I come back and I read it for some other purpose or some other thing that I'm studying. And I read it and I think, oh, man, how did I not see that before? But notice, by the way, so the first two verses of this chapter, that's fantastic, right? Justified by faith, having peace with God, access by faith into grace, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Everybody's in agreement there. Then we come to verse 3, and he says, not only that, but he says, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so this thought, you know, sometimes we like to read the verses that sound good, the first couple of verses. Those are great, marvelous, wonderful. But sometimes I think we just read right through verse 3, just keep going as fast as we can, get right through that one, right? Well, to me, when I read this and I was thinking about this time, I realized that Paul's saying that stands on the same ground as rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. He says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, again, I want to remind us that the word here, it means to work fully or completely. And so, let's just go to James real quick, the first chapter. I know this is familiar, but let's just, sometimes, again, it's good for our eyes to fall on these things. verse 2 of first chapter of James, verse 2. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." It's the same word. "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now, to me, this was interesting to put these two things together, because essentially he's saying the same thing that Paul said. But he goes a little bit further here to remind us that we need to allow patience to complete the work. In other words, we need to allow the trials that we have, we need to allow them to complete what they're doing. See, God is working, and his work is one where he completes what he does, what he starts. Are we going to allow him to do that? Well, we should, because we should want that. It should be the desire of our hearts for him to complete what he has started. The trying of your faith worketh patience. I normally don't do this, but as I was writing for the paper for this month, I was thinking about a little bit about patience and how hard it is. and I like to think of myself as being patient. I don't know if you like to think of yourself that way, but it's okay to think of ourselves that way. But often what we think of ourselves doesn't match up with the reality, does it? I like to think of myself as a patient person, but I also recognize that things come along and I find myself not very patient at times. And in the natural, you know, things come along our way and happen. But in the spiritual, we have to recognize that God is in control and it's his working. And so he's working patience in us, and patience is also having a work. And he says that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Men count lack in one way. God counts it in a different way. He wants to work something in us, and his work will be complete. It will be finished, fully done, if we'll allow him to do it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, down at the end of this chapter. In verse 17, 2 Corinthians 4:17, he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Here's that word, worketh again. Now, again, I know I've read this before and thought, oh, light affliction. Well, yeah, okay. Maybe my affliction's light, but I want us to remember who wrote this, okay? In case we get to the point where we think, oh, my affliction's not that light anymore. To remember the person that wrote this. I have yet in my lifetime to be stoned by anybody. Now, I'm sure somebody threw some rocks at me when I was a kid or something maybe, but that's not what we're talking about. Paul was stoned and left for dead. That was just one thing. I just picked that one because it's sort of like the news, right? You pick the thing that's really gets people's attention. Well, that seems like a pretty severe affliction to me. But see, Paul is counting this in the view of glory, in the view of eternity. And so he says, our light affliction, he says, is but for a moment. But he says it worketh. It worketh for us. So the things that God brings our way are part of the work that he's doing to bring us to that place of completeness or perfection. Well, okay, Psalm 119, this might seem like a strange place to find something on this topic, but in verse 67, Psalm 119 and verse 67, yeah, Psalm 119 and verse 67.
Thank you.
Verse 67 says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." And drop down to verse 71. In verse 71 of this chapter 119, it says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." I don't know if you found this to be true, but I have, that the trials and the afflictions bring the Word of God more real into my life. You might think that's a strange thing to say, but you know, if we had no trials or afflictions, some of God's Word would just kind of float on past us. The work that he does, it's not always easy. It's not, as they say, it's not always fun and games. But that's okay, because this is something way more important than fun and games. The seriousness and the importance of what God is doing in our lives exceeds everything else that we can think of. I know that I take my job pretty serious, because it's important to do that. But even more so, the work that God is doing in my life. It far exceeds even that. Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter. In this chapter of Ephesians, we find Paul praying for these saints. We find Paul praying for these saints, and I'm not going to read the whole prayer, but in verse 18, he prays that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. In verse, so that they would know something, right? It says that you may know what is the hope of his calling. That's verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And here's something else he wants them to know. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. According to the working of his mighty power. This is what Paul wants us to know. This particular word for working here is a little different word. And it's really the word that we get our word energy from. But in this particular use, it has more of a thought of efficiency. And I like that thought. Efficiency. That's one of the things, you know, we strive for, to make things more efficient. It's also has the thought in it of being effectual. It goes along with efficiency, of course. But you can kind of get the idea, the energy, if you will, the power. So he says working, right? Working of his mighty power. The word mighty there, it's a word that means force or forcefulness, power, strength. It also means ability. And then, of course, the word power, this word seems familiar to me, but it's the word is kratos in the Greek, and I was thinking, I just saw that somewhere the other day, but it literally just means vigor, power and strength. And so he puts these words together because he needs to try to express what God is able to do. Up above there, we saw the word power also, exceeding greatness of his power. And that word's a different word than the other word power. And it's the word dynamis, which is the word from which we derive our word dynamite. So it really indicates more of an explosive power, if you will. That is a very large power, because we always think of that, you know, dynamite was the most powerful thing we have for a long time that could blow things up. And that's why they use that word to describe it. This is God's power that he's working in our lives. And so God's not just someone who completes his work, but God is someone who has the ability to complete his work. He has the power that it takes. I don't know if you ever thought about this way. Again, strange things come to me sometimes, but I was just thinking that, you know, some things require more power than others. You know, when we use dynamite, it's usually because we need an extreme amount of power that we can't get some other way. Sometimes the work that God's doing in our lives requires more power. But God has the power. God has the power to do it. He has the ability to complete it. He has the ability to bring it to its fullness. And that's exactly what we want to happen. Since we're in Ephesians, let's go to the third chapter real quick and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant. Have you heard this before? I think I've heard this before. I appreciate, you know, Jack quoted this an awful lot, and I appreciate that because it's such an important reminder to us. Him that is able to do exceeding. Paul uses words because these superlative words because he has to try to get an idea across. To do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to or in the measure of the power that works in us, that worketh in us. So, exceeding abundantly, of course, that word means super abundantly or out of measure. In other words, something above what can actually be measured. That's God's ability. It reminded me that we have to be careful because sometimes we have a tendency to want to put God into our box. And if it's something we don't think can be accomplished, then we limit God's ability to do it in our thinking at the very least, if not in our actions as well. So this is a really good reminder for us, a daily reminder that we need. He is able. He is able. How many times do we come to places in our lives where we just feel like we need to give up because I just can't do this anymore. I can't make it anymore. I can't get there. I just can't. Well, it's a good place to be. It's a good place to be because when we get to that place is when we can finally recognize that God is able. We're not able, but he is able. And he does exceeding abundantly, way above measure, above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. His power that does a complete and full work. And of course, the rest of that is very important because unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. We should be glorifying him for the work that he is doing in us. I want to think about God's word for just a minute. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, because it is through his word that God is effecting this work in our lives. In other words, if we choose to ignore God's word, we will also choose to refuse the work that he is doing. God's Holy Spirit takes the word as we read it, and he works in our life.
Amen.
And one of the reasons why the Word of God and the study of the Word of God is so important. What did I say? 1 Thessalonians, second chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I think I'll read verse 13 here. Oh, it'd help if I go to 1 Thessalonians. Did I say 1 Thessalonians? Okay. Well, I said it and didn't go there, so. Okay, 1 Thessalonians, second chapter and verse 13. It's like, that doesn't look very familiar at all. Well, it looked familiar, just not. Let's see. Well, verse 12, chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 12 says that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You see the effectual working here? Effectually worketh. Now that's actually one Greek word again, and it's that word energeo or whatever that I said before. But it's a slightly different version of that word. See, that's the thing about the Greek. They change a little bit about the word. It means to be active, efficient, and effectual. So this kind of has that component of active. Active. So when we receive God's word as it is in truth, the word of God, and this is a key part, by the way, because by faith, we receive God's word, we believe God's word. He says they received it as it is, not the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. Many people read the Bible, and there seems to be no change in their lives. We must believe the word of God, what it says. God's word is powerful. It's powerful. It can work effectually, efficiently in our lives if we believe it. Let's go real quick to John, the 17th chapter. I want to read what Jesus says here because, again, one of those things where I think I probably read it many times and it just didn't quite come across the same. John chapter 17 and verse 17. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Okay. You forgive me that I am an engineer. And so when I read this time, I, for some reason, had the vision of an equation. I don't know if you see the equation here, but the last part of this says thy word is truth. So we can say word equals truth. Right? The first part of this says sanctify them through thy truth. So I'm going to say that sanctification is by truth, equals truth. And now you can substitute. The equation is simple. God's word is used to sanctify us. Now, I want you to notice this thing as well. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. So I know I've read this many times, and you probably have too. But it didn't really quite dawn on me the way he states this. See, this is an active thing here. This is a verb. When he says sanctify them, that's an active thing. That's not, oh, they'll get sanctified. They might be sanctified. It could happen. No, this is an active thing on God's part. Jesus speaking to his Father, praying for us. An active thing that God does using his word. Our sanctification, which is ongoing day by day, it's an active thing on God's part using his word. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. God's word is powerful. Verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Again, something I noticed here, there's a description of God's word here, of course. It's quick. That word quick, by the way, doesn't mean fast. It means alive. It is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And then there's the action part at the second part of this verse. You see that? Piercing, dividing, and discerning. And so I want to think just a minute about that thought about discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. It seems like a strange thing. You say, well, it's just a book. How is it active? Well, that's because we have the Holy Spirit. But think about this for a minute. Have you ever gone to God's Word and you were studying and something in your life was brought out to you? Something that God wanted to deal with? If it hasn't happened to you, you haven't been studying enough yet, because it happens to me all the time. Studying, you know, it says it's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Man, sometimes it's hard for us to even fully understand the intent of our heart. I mean, we kind of know it, but the Word will bring it out. Think about it. You're studying God's Word and you read something and you go, oh, man, that's exactly what I was thinking. I've mentioned often my friend George Huggins, and I really appreciate George Huggins, because he writes, now that he's retired, he writes a lot of things about God's Word, but lately it seems like he's been introspecting a little bit, and he'll write some passage down, and then he'll say, I found this in my life, you know, and I thought, that's interesting, you know, that the Word of God, and so George is, got to be in his late 60s now. I don't know exactly how old he is, but he's late 60s, early 70s maybe even. Probably early 70s. I don't remember how old he was when he retired. But anyway, so all of this time, and still there's things to be found, because God's Word discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Yeah. The way that God will work in our life is if when we come to that place, if we recognize that and allow Him, then the Word does the other thing that it does, which is the piercing and dividing and working in our lives, sanctifying. But it is God's Word. One more place here in Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews, the 13th chapter. I think I'll start in verse 20 here. He says in verse 20 of Hebrews 13, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Just a reminder that God is the one who's doing the work. He's working in us, and it is a work that can be completed if we'll just allow Him. Do we want to be perfect? I do. That was Paul's desire. It's what he sought after. He said, I don't claim to have already attained, but I follow after. It's also my desire, because I want to be in that company. But if indeed it's our desire, then We must study God's Word. We must spend time in God's Word, because that is how He is working in our lives. We must recognize that the tribulations and the trials in our lives are there to work something for our good. I don't remember if I put it in the paper or not, but at one time I was writing something called Don't Waste a Trial. And the idea there was, you know, if we don't let God work in our lives in the trials, that's a wasted trial because it had a purpose. But if we refuse to let God do that work, that's a wasted trial. Now, I don't know about you, but I hope that I don't waste any trials, because, well, it's enough, and I want to allow God to do what He wants to do. I'm going to read one more place, and then I'm going to quit this morning. Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul had a confidence, not in himself, not in man, not in some philosophy, but confidence in God. The word confidence here, it's a word that we might better think of as being convinced and convincing. In other words, Paul was convinced about this, and he was also willing to convince others of the same thing. That's the confidence, if you will. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He will bring it to completion. The word there is to fulfill completely, to execute, to accomplish, to finish. We're not going to finish the work in us. We couldn't even start the work in us. How then could we finish it? But we can be very confident. If we have a desire, if we're truly willing to let God, to allow His Holy Spirit to work, as we take in God's Word, and this has certainly been my experience over the years, and I know you as well, as we take in God's Word and we allow the Holy Spirit, He does work in our lives. He changes us. I'm not the same as I was many years ago. You're not the same as you were either. Sometimes I think, oh, you know, that's never going to change. But I'm always reminded that when I think about that, that that's my, if you will, unbelief getting in the way. Because God can change, and He does. He does change us. Sometimes we don't realize it until you might be gone for years and suddenly realize, this has happened to me numerous times, and I realize suddenly my attitude on something has changed. It's different. I didn't do that. But God did through His Word. And I'm glad. I'm thankful. Don't want to be the person that I was before. That's not so pretty. I'm thankful and glad that God works and that He completes what He starts. Glad He's not like me. Get things started and then not get them complete. No, God is able and wanting to complete what He started in our lives. It might be a little bit of tribulation and trials along the way because those are part of the work, but if we just allow them to have their work, to allow them to do what God wants them to do, to really surrender to the working of God in each of those situations, then we will be glad. We will be glad. Amen. Any questions or comments this morning? Yes, it's on the thing out here, by the way. Yield. Yes, in every little detail. It's on the sign out there. Jack used to use that a lot. Yes, in every little detail. Yield to Him. Yield to Him. Man, it's hard. I guess I want to be careful about people thinking we're just, you know, people say, oh, you preach that easy Christianity. Oh, I'm not preaching some easy Christianity. Yielding is hard. Yielding is hard because our old nature doesn't want to. That stiff neck thing that we read about sometimes, that's the way our old nature is, and it's not.
We want to pick and choose our yielding.
That's right. How often we miss out, right?
Yeah. Hey, you don't need anything there. I'm sorry. Hey, is there any way I can get my bag out of your car? That way I can get home?
Yeah, give me just a second. I'll do that for you. Sure. The keys are right back there if you want to just grab them on the windowsill. Yeah, so sometimes we miss out because we want to pick and choose where we do the yielding. And if we do that, by the way, what's our flesh going to pick? The easy ones, right? Oh, I'll do that one. I'll go there. I was reminded as I got a promotion last year at the end of the year at my job, and they failed to tell me something, which is this particular promotion puts me in a position where they just get to use me for anything they want, which it's always been kind of true, I guess, but it's even more so. And so I've been asked to do a few things in recent months that are not really inside my scope of what I consider my safe place to be at work. And at first I was kind of aggravated about that. But the Lord reminded me, you know, sometimes he's taken us someplace where we don't want to be because he has something to do in our lives. And that I don't work for them, I work for him. Was it you that said that Larry Moots said that about Cessna? I don't work for them, I work for him. And so if he allows them to send me to Japan, which I really didn't want to go too badly, then I need to do that. And so when I think about that, I think, oh, Lord, that's not really where you want me to go, is it? Why would you do that? But I don't know what the Lord's plan is. I just know that he's always been faithful. He's always been there, and he's always done what is best for me. And so I have no reason to worry or to complain. Amen. Let's stand this morning and be dismissed.